Sherry.
Okay, Sherry, go ahead.
You know, we just at KPFA went through a process of hiring of a GM, and we considered the applicants in executive session, and everybody in the session signed confidentiality agreements so that any conversations that went on in that session about the candidates, their ranking, positions taken by anybody was absolutely confidential and could not be revealed under penalty of death. Of course, for the last 2 weeks now, several newspapers, one newspaper in particular in the Bay Area, wrote a story about which one of us voted in which way, how many of us voted for particular candidates, who the candidates were, what their ranking was. So, I mean, you're right, Wendy, that everything is confidential and it's all our information. It's sort of the same thing about having to read about all of this stuff about Eva Georgia from L.A., when I would imagine that some of the stuff in her employment file and investigations that were conducted pursuant to allegations against her should be kept private. So the idea that we are all signing confidentiality agreements doesn't make me comfortable. If people really want a recording of what goes on in executive session, and I can appreciate that for comparison of accuracy, then I do like Afia's suggestion that, or Bob's, that that recording should be kept with one person only, and it makes sense to make it the secretary. But, you know, a lot of people sign confidentiality agreements and very cavalierly walk outside and grab a microphone.
Yeah, I sense there might be support for a motion to have a recording of closed sessions with very limited access. Would anyone like to make such a motion?
Mary Berg,
Mary?
Okay, I'll instead of my comment, I'll do that as a motion. I'm introducing one new idea. I move that executive sessions be recorded with the recordings restricted only to the secretary. After the meetings, the recording would be turned over to the national office as part of the meeting. Documents that are kept there. And my motivation for that is that if someone wanted to listen to it later, I think they could be able in the national office to hear it. They could not have a copy. And my reason for it, as part of my motivation, the business about confidentiality, in my opinion, in my experience rather, every kind of breach that I have been involved or have been aware of had nothing to do with recordings. People have left in a meeting and written their own versions, or they've had taken from the minutes or whatever. So I don't see that it's more conducive to breach of confidentiality to have a recording. I haven't seen that this has ever happened. And we've had so much breachings all the time, and no recording has helped that at all.
Can I be on the stack?
Okay, Dan.
I mean, again, I won't argue with what appears to be some level of agreement, although I do worry about listening, about waking up one morning and listening to a tape of a confidential meeting of the board someplace where it shouldn't be. I think the response to Mary is, well, we haven't had that opportunity. But what I do also want to say is that, and I'm not saying this as a particular criticism, I don't think we have at this moment a secure ability in the national office to keep these tapes. I mean, if people had a sense of how many personnel records and similar records that we've had to look for in the last 18 months for legal cases and other purposes and could not find them. Maybe at some point in the future there will be a national office that has a safe that is accessible to, you know, the board secretary and the CFO and the ED and no one else. And that would be a place to keep these tapes, but there is no such place now.
This is Bob.
It's Thea. Oh, go ahead.
Okay. I have Bob and then Afia. Bob, go ahead.
Well, I'll go after Afia.
Okay, Afia.
I think that if the issue is one of storage, a safe deposit box is, the cost of a safe deposit box is minimal. And we could clearly secure the key.
Okay. If you're through with you, Bob?
Yes.
Well, I'm not convinced there's any need to keep these tapes once the board has approved the minutes in question. That's the whole purpose that we're putting forward this idea in the first place, is just that to avoid disputes about was that motion actually adopted or was it tabled or, you know, all of that, or was this wording added or that wording added. That's the point at which once the board has, you know, gone over the draft minutes from the secretary and amended them or not or done whatever they want to do and passed them, then the purpose of having the tape evaporates. And I think to keep it anywhere, no matter how quote-unquote secure, is to invite trouble. And let's remember that one of the most common discussions in these executive sessions is about personnel, including personnel sometimes that work in the national office. So I don't see the point of keeping it. It seems like it should be destroyed once the minutes have been approved, because there's a lot of sensitive things that get said in those meetings, and we don't need to worry about who's going to be on the board next year or who's going to, you know, just it opens up a lot of cans of worms that I think are unnecessary.
Okay, can I just ask, Mary, do you have wording for your motion down? Or?
Yes, actually I could move to divide the motion about
what's the wording?
If we want move that executive session minutes be recorded, that the recording be restricted to the secretary only. And the additional part, we could divide that. I could move to divide that part. And that after completing the minutes, the secretary turned over the recording to the national office to be kept as part of the NB documentation that is kept.
Okay, if there's
if
no
people
objection.
People says there's no safe place right now, we could divide this and...
Yeah. If there's no objection, we can divide this into two separate motions, one that they be kept with the secretary, the other about turning it over to the national office.
Yeah.
Was somebody trying to get the floor? Was it Sarv?
No? I just, you know, then I think that we're embarking on a kind of elaborate process here, and before you know it, we'll say, well, who's going to oversee the destruction of the tape and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And you know, it seemed like 22 people on the board in a meeting, if the minutes are not reflecting what they said, I think there are, you know, plenty of people here that would remind the secretary that this was not like this, it's like this.
Yeah.
And I understand that, you know, secretary would have to be diligent in taking the exact wording, and we want to make sure that she gets the word, exact wording. So
I'll point out that as the question is now divided, it merely states that the recordings will be kept with the secretary. I don't believe it states that how they will be disposed of or whether they will be stored indefinitely. So
I call the question, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Call the... there's no objection. I think we can dispose of the second question.
Yes.
Which is over storing it in the national office if there's no further need for discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we can go to a vote on the... the second part of the question, which states that that recordings of closed sessions would be turned over to the national office. I guess this would be, if you vote yes, you want to add this to the motion, and if you vote no, you want to strike it. So maybe we could go to a roll call vote, Mary.
No, this is the motion of the first part, right? That the executive motion.
No, it would be the second part.
Oh.
What are we voting on?
Okay, this would be on whether or not recordings would be turned over to the national office. And the reason is I think people need to know what they're voting on when they vote on whether or not to record closed sessions. when we get to the first part of the motion, you're going to, you know, you might be opposed to recording closed sessions if they're going to be turned over to the national office, whereas if they're not, you might be in favor of it.
Okay.
So I think it needs to be treated as an amendment and disposed of first. Sarv, do you have an objection?
No, that's okay. That's what we can vote on. That's fine.
Okay.
Is there anyone who objects? Can we find out?
Well, I object to the...
I object.
Oh, yeah.
I object.
Yeah. I object.
Anyone who doesn't?
I mean, that's what I meant to say. Is there anyone who doesn't?
Is there anyone who supports the motion?
No.
No, I won't support it. Even at this point. I would revisit it later. So.
Thank you.
Okay, the motion fails, and
thank
so...
You.
We're left with the original question, which I would like to amend to say that, I don't know what wording you have, that they be kept with the secretary for the completion of the minutes.
I have what I have written, but I'm
really
open to changing the wording, but I'm trying to follow my own dictate, which was that people should keep with their same language every time they... iterate again.
Yeah.
But what I have, even if it's no good, you can fix the language. But this is what she wrote: that executive session minutes be recorded, that the recording be restricted to the secretary only.
Yeah, and I would amend it to add for purposes of completing the minutes upon approval of minutes. The recordings will be destroyed.
Okay. So we'll add upon approval of the mission of the minutes, the recording will be destroyed. Okay.
So that's my amendment. So that is now on the floor. Is there any discussion of that amendment? Okay. If there's no discussion, we can go to a vote on it. Is there any objection to that amendment?
I object.
Yeah, I object.
Okay, there is objection.
Oh, the amendment? No, I don't object to the amendment. I'm sorry.
Oh, but I'm objecting the whole thing, the motion and...
Oh, but the amendment. Do you object to the amendment?
No, amendment is fine.
The amendment's okay. So there's
may we have a discussion? I would like to speak in favor of the motion.
Okay,
as soon as
I declare the amendment approved... then we can go to the main motion. Hearing no objection to the amendment, then the main motion as it now stands. Mary, could you read the motion as amended?
Okay. The executive session minutes be recorded. That the executive session minutes be recorded. That the recording be restricted to the secretary only. And that upon approval of the minutes... the recording will be destroyed. That was the amendment.
Approval of them, yes. And it was the executive session meetings will be recorded.
Pardon me?
Executive session meetings will be recorded. Minutes. You might have misspoken.
The recording of, the minutes of the executive. Okay. Upon approval of the minutes for the executive session meeting, the recording of that meeting will be destroyed.
And just read the first few words.
Will that be okay?
The first few words of the main motion, Mary, please.
That executive session minutes be recorded.
I think we
I'm sorry,
meetings. Yeah, meetings.
It's so sorry.
Great. Okay, good.
Say meetings.
Okay, now I heard a number of people want to speak to it, and I forget. I think it was Sherry and Sarv, or was that correct? Sherry, did you want to speak to the motion?
Well, I'm just going to... that I share Dan's concerns about the recording of executive session minutes. So I'm going to vote against the main motion because of that. I just think things in Pacifica, that we have enough problems as it is, and a recording of an executive session meeting can result in problems that are quite difficult. And for that reason, I'm going to vote against it.
Okay. Sarv, did you want to speak?
Yeah, pretty much I think that, I think that this problem here, we can handle it. In the past, we handled it, and we got a little bit more diligence, and I think we can overcome this rather than starting. Like I say, it's very difficult to, once you record something, and we are not saying, that our secretary would do that, but I just, you know, our this whole, it's like a sieve, our whole network is like that, and everybody's signing these agreements, and then and then you see in the newspapers, and, you know, and like, and Dan got a valid point, you know, I could wake up in the morning and you see your voice there somewhere. So I'm against it.
Okay, is there any other discussion on the motion?
Yes, I would like to speak
okay,
in favor.
Okay, Mary. Mary, go ahead.
Yes, this really, we see, we wake up in the morning and see your words, or what purported to be your words, in the newspaper. This has been happening all the time. There is nothing right now to prevent anyone who's bent on making a clandestine recording or illicit recording. Anyone who knows how to do anything could figure how to do that, and they could still do this if they want to. But it's very, very important. I has, now that I've done this, for this will be my second year doing this, and I helped Teresa Ellen in the first year that I've been on the board. I think Thea has a good point about the accuracy. And it was better when everything had to be sent in writing, exactly, that we're voting on. And everyone sees the copy. That's all the thing that we're voting on. That has been better, and it's very difficult to do, and it's very time-consuming to have to read this 3 or 4 times to the people who can't read this on the computer, they're in transit or whatever, that still there's a concern to my mind about the accuracy of it. And I really think it would be a very great boon. And as I say, it isn't a question of what, the confidentiality, if there's a will to do it, to breach it, it's going to be breached. And we all, all of us who've been involved in this for any number of years, we see that this happens. It happens all the time. It happened with our LSB on great regular, when we were doing about the GM and all the different kinds of things. And everything was being breached for a while. There was a certain point there. And it's happened over and over again in every single other LSB, and it's happened at the PNB. So I don't see that the fear is that you're not going to wake up in the morning and hear this on the on where. You know, you're going to see it all right on in text messages, but I don't think people are going to be sending audio files, and a lot of people can't even can't accept the audio files. So I think that's just not a relevant concern. But the accuracy, you know, I think the accuracy is. I've never yet seen a bootleg audio file being passed around for any of these breaches, not once.
This is Wendy.
We're at time. You know what? I'll recognize Wendy if you can.
Okay. Sure, no problem.
State it succinctly, and then
just,
I think you go to a vote.
Yeah, it is. Just that this thing where we hang up the phone and say, please send me the exact text, we really have to stop doing that. This recording is supposed to be meant as a backup where you can go check, but we have to, as a PNB, work very much harder on having the exact motion language before we vote and making sure the secretary has it, because all those motions are contentious in executive session, and we can't have, we've just gone through the big argument, we can't go through having people send their version of the text to the secretary. So that's all I wanted to say.
Okay, we can go to a vote since we're at time.
I'm sorry, Ms. Bob, before you vote, I just want to add a technical amendment. I think it should say PNB executive session, so it's not seen as every type of executive session throughout the whole system. It's not meant to dictate to LSBs how they do their business.
Good. Mary, can you put that in there? I doubt anyone will doubt. We'll check.
Would you say that again, please?
Just put in the word PNB
before meeting.
Before executive sessions. That all PNB executive sessions.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Of course. Yes, certainly it should have said. Yes. Thank you. And that was meant, so I'll just put it in with permission that the PNB executive session minutes. Yes, that was. That's not an amendment. It just was a
clarification.
An omission from the first. Yeah.
Okay. Then, Mary, could you call the roll, please?
Okay. And let's see. Well, Afia Mungaza?
Yes.
Bob Lederer?
Yes.
Jerry Gendelman?
No.
Carl Rondawa?
No.
Wendy Schrell?
Yes.
Jack Van Aken?
Yes.
And Mary Burke says yes. Lonnie Hick?
Yes.
Dan Siegel?
No.
So, there are six yes. There are three no.
So the motion carries.
It appears to have passed.
Thank you,
Mary. Sorry. What was the vote? Can you repeat the vote, please? The count.
Okay, I have six. You want to know who?
No, just the number.
I have six yes, and I have one, two, three no.
Thank you.
Okay, great. We move on to agenda item 5, Houston TNB meeting. We have 15 minutes for this item. A is the agenda for the PNB meeting. I don't have any sort of draft agenda, but maybe we could do a little brainstorming about what we all think is really critical. What I find with the LSB is that any item that is critical, that absolutely needs attention, I would always put at the beginning of the meeting because everything slides. It seemed to happen that way in Newark. I, you know, certainly take responsibility as acting chair for 2 days, that the agenda does tend to slide. Those of you that are continuing board members that have a lot of experience with the in-person meetings probably know better than I how to assemble an agenda. Does anyone have any suggestions?
Is there an agenda template that was used for past PNB meetings?
I think there is.
Okay. And who might be able to provide that to Jack?
The template that we had from several people to do this. There was the time that Greg Guma came on, and then we had sort of a template before that. So, are we talking about those templates?
Okay, Bob, you have a comment?
Yeah, well, we could certainly look at the most recent agenda in Newark and see what we liked, what we disliked about the approach. And maybe tonight, rather than getting into specific items, whether it should be or shouldn't be on, maybe we could talk about some of the broad approaches that I think it was Dan who took the lead on formulating this, and then there was input from the board. Dan, I know you had brought up the idea of rather than having every major department head give a report, to focus on a few of them in a little bit more depth so that the board could get deeper into the issue. You want to talk a little about how you went about organizing the agenda?
Yes, and what Bob says is right. Having now been to six or seven national meetings, I noticed that time allocated to station reports and national office division reports constantly shrunk, and those reports became truncated without much time for either the report or discussion. And so for the Newark meeting, I tried to create a situation where we'd have just one station report. So obviously if we're going to be in Houston, that would be the Houston station. And then instead of talking about all issues relating to the national office divisions, to focus on one. For example, given the interest and the activity, it might be worthwhile to focus on Pacifica's national news activities, and with specific reference to the presidential election. So I think those are two things. I think there needs obviously to be a substantial time for a finance report and discussion, which I would almost see as a standing item. So those are some things. One of the issues that came up in planning the Newark meeting was concern by some members that things be moved around to accommodate the interests of members of the public in participating in the meeting, which is obviously a valid concern, although one of the consequences of that was that there seemed to be kind of substantial sections of time that were off limits to relevant conversation, particularly Friday, because of the sense that people who were at work would not have an opportunity to participate. So I thought that was something that we should think about. I mean, if we're going to meet on Friday, but at the same time not be able to discuss certain things, maybe Friday should focus on closed session items where members of the public are not invited to participate anyway. So I can also, if people like, I think I have on the computer in front of me the agenda for the Newark meeting, and I could shoot it out to you.
You mean an email?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, I think he does.
Okay.
Andy, did you have a comment, Wendy?
I do. Are you done, Dan?
I'm done, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think that'd be great if we could see it in email. I thought you were going to read it all right now, and I don't think that'd be helpful. But I just want to say, for the last 16 PND meetings that I'm aware of, and, excluding the Newark meeting, and you know, and the prior regime as well, general managers were always invited or ordered to come to the PND meetings, wherever they are, and we've been having the national staff, the operations staff, not the program directors, although they've been invited a couple of times during this time, but it's always been the tradition and a very good practice, I think, to have the general managers at the PNB meetings. First of all, they have to implement whatever the PNB decides to do. The FaceTime is extremely important. Us hearing from them, even if it's not in the open meeting, but just spending that time with the different managers and them spending that time with each other, hearing from the Pacifica Archives director, that is just so hugely important. And the affiliates coordinator, you know, these are things that actually are upbeat and exciting and energizing things to hear, you know, the good stuff that's happening with those units. It was disturbing to me that just a few days before the PNB meeting, we found out that those national managers were not invited to the meeting. So I hear that there's a meeting in March of this group in Houston as well, and so I just really want to make sure that we are still inviting those people to come to the national board meeting, because it's just detrimental when we don't. So keeping in mind also that hopefully we'll have some movement on our executives, and them having FaceTime with their staff is really important too. So I just would like to make a motion that the operations collective, excluding finance, the operations collective, be included in the Houston meeting.
One information, Mr. Chairman. This is Sarv.
Okay, Sarv.
Was there some kind of a reason, Dan, that the operational collective meeting was not kind of synchronized with the Houston PNB meeting? Was there any particular reason?
Mm-hmm. Well, there are a couple of reasons. One was an interest, I would have to say, on my part, and I think on the part of other persons, to get together sooner rather than later. Secondly, the idea that we would have 2 days plus to actually have in-depth conversations about the issues that the staff is concerned with. It didn't seem like there was going to be an opportunity or that it would be practical to try to have a 5 or 6 day meeting in Houston of both the staff and the board. And while I have the floor, I mean, I appreciate Wendy's concerns, but I also want to raise issues of, one, cost, and secondly, the fact that I mean, staff and you know, maybe it's not important, but staff has been very frustrated in coming to meetings and then not having an opportunity to present and discuss what they present. So.
This is Bob.
Okay, Bob.
Yeah, I want to support the direction that Dan, you know, had kind of had moved the board to embrace with this last meeting because, well, for the reasons that he said, it cost is becoming an increasingly important factor for us, but also I don't really think that the way, and I've been on the board now for 3 years, and I've seen how the presentations by the GMs get truncated. Actually, for the last year, we haven't even been hearing from all five. We've been picking two. And so then it's even more frustrating because you've come all this long way, you've taken time out of your schedule, and you're not even on the agenda at all, which really doesn't make sense. While it's certainly in an ideal world, it would be great if the National Board could spend time 4 times a year, you know, a whole weekend at which during the after hours, you know, we can talk in the corridors with all five of the GMs. That's a nice thing if possible, but I think the financial cost and the cost in their time and their frustration is not worth it. And I wouldn't minimize the question of their time because we're talking usually an operations collective meeting on Thursday. So they fly out Wednesday night. They're in a meeting, which is, from what I hear, very very productive meeting. So there's nothing wrong with that piece of it. But they have that meeting. Then Friday, there's usually an executive session by the board, so they're not part of that. Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday, they can come to the board if they want, but, you know, like I said, they're not really going to be that much part of it. And meanwhile, they have pressing work back at home. So I don't think that system is working anymore, and I think we should move more to a restricted list. And the same for all the different department heads. I don't think that it serves them or us as a board to have people jammed into a 15, 20-minute presentation time, and then the rest of the time they're kind of cooling their heels. So I think we should look more selectively and make conscious choices as to which stations and which departments or programs we want to really focus on and invite those people to come and give them a reasonable, you know, a decent amount of time.
Okay. Anyone else like to get on the stack?
Ifia.
Ifia, go right ahead.
I feel some need to have an opportunity to hear and interface and have a more holistic sense of the network and of how it all fits together and it functions as a network as opposed to five pieces scattered across the country. So I don't know that the PMB meeting is the only way to do that, but I think that there needs to be a way that happens, and if the PMB meeting is the only way, then I would support Wendy's motion.
Yeah. Thank you. If you're through, Afia, I would like to echo that sentiment that I'm concerned about managers becoming alienated or further alienated than they already may be to the governance structure, given the culture of Pacifica that we're all familiar with. I also am a little disturbed to hear that, you know, managers feel like they're coming to meetings and then they're being put off and being given an inadequate time for presentation. That won't help any broken relations between managers and the PNB. So I'm sort of feeling like I'm not sure that Wendy's motion is the solution, but I agree with the sentiment that we need to all think of ourselves more as a network and find ways to come together in person. So I'm actually feeling conflicted, and I don't quite know which way to go with this. Anyone have any ideas?
Sherry.
Okay, Sherry, go ahead.
I think somebody said their name before me.
Who was that? Was that Sarv?
Lonnie.
Okay, Lonnie, please go ahead.
You know, one idea might be to have the board has sort of bylaw responsibilities in June. That's in September. That's when we do the budget. In June, we review the budget. And in January, we're electing officers. But March is a point where there is no bylaw responsibilities for the board. And maybe you could have an all, you know, radio operations meeting in March where everybody's there and they, the agendas are all relating to the stations and the general managers have the whole weekend. And then the compromise would be to have two stations as focus stations for the other meetings because there are other business to be done. That's sort of what is happening in effect when we have everybody in Houston and next month. It's all radio operations, but the board isn't there. So maybe that's one way to address that sense of being involved.
Lonnie, can I ask you to clarify, because the next in-person PMB meeting is April 11th.
Mary Berg?
Yeah.
The board did, last year, I think, change March to April, and Lonnie's just on a pre...
Okay, so Lonnie, you're talking about the spring meeting, which would
It'll be in April. That's
It's normally in April, and
yeah.
I'm saying that we did it in March because of we did it in April because of the proximity to January. But if the March or April meeting, whichever we decide upon, is...
Well, we voted to make it on April.
Okay, Mary.
Yeah, it's a radio operations meeting where all of the stations, all of the general managers, all the program folks are there. That might be the way to really get a sense of the whole network. And it does follow on after January, you know, something for new board members to get an orientation for the network as a whole. And then go to the two-station orientation for the rest of the year.
I'm still not understanding what you're saying. I know that there's a meeting of the staff in March. What is that? How does that connect to the board?
Oh, yeah. Normally, this is the first time that's ever happened, as I recall, although there was a couple of times when the staff didn't meet. But I'm saying that this year, of course, it's too late. But we would have every year an all-radio operations meeting in April with the board and the staff and everybody there. And then that would give the new board members who have been on board for just two or three months, having been elected in January, a way to see the whole network as a whole with everybody at the March meeting. And then follow on with a two-station focus thereafter because the board has other statutory and bylaw responsibilities.
So... if I understand you correctly, Lonnie, you're suggesting that we have all of the managers present on the April 11th meeting and then subsequently go to a two-station focus or two-manager focus?
Yeah, and the reason I'm suggesting it is because the meetings in Houston and Berkeley, I think, would follow on from there, are less expensive meetings. Financial concern there. And so it's more possible. But New York was a terribly expensive meeting. That's why we had it in Newark.
Right.
But, yeah, that might satisfy, you know, everybody's concerns to have them all there a month later and that the board can, as people are saying, we need to see everybody get a sense of the network, look at what radio operations at Pacifica as a whole is involved with. So, yeah, I know it's more money. But that might be one way to get us on track to that sort of schedule.
You know, if I could just throw one other thing in.
Sure.
If it comes to pass that Nicole comes back on board and is our ED, it seems to me that one focus of the April meeting will be dealing with some of her agenda. And as everyone knows, the agreement that's been proposed to her asks her to...
wait a minute, Dan.
Wait a minute. That,
are you aware that we are in an open session, that this is streamed?
Oops, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
interesting topic, nevertheless.
okay, I was on stack.
all right, Sherry.
I think that, I mean, I actually did like the policy that Dan had of focusing on the station whose jurisdiction the meeting is being held in. I have a concern about everything that's mentioned. The costs involved are enormous, and the network is not flush with money. So that is not a secondary consideration. It's a primary consideration. And then the fact that our agendas are usually so full with many items of business and, you know, a million crises and then the mundane, that having all five managers sit around and not get attended to doesn't really inform us other than we get to see what they look like. But also they are going to be having this meeting in March. Something there might be a report from that meeting, and if the agenda for the April meeting, when's the closing date on items for the agenda?
The day before, the day of.
Okay.
Probably the day of, yeah.
Okay.
The day after. The week before the meeting, then we have time to send them out.
Okay.
Gentlemen, time?
Okay, we're at time for this
okay.
item.
That's it. I'm not going to say anymore.
Motion to extend time?
Well, can we extend for just 5 minutes?
We can do that. If there's no objection, we'll extend for 5 minutes.
This is Bob.
Okay, Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, I've been persuaded by a few of the speakers that that it is necessary to have at least one meeting a year that where the board can meet kind of all the managers and the heads of departments at the national level and so on. So I think I was a little too much in my head as a long-standing board member who, you know, knows these folks, but there's people that have never met them, and I think that's an important role in sitting on the national board. So since we weren't able to do it in January, I think the April meeting would be an appropriate time. So I would now support that as a one-time. In other words, that it would be a once-a-year kind of thing, and, you know, the next year's board can decide which month it would be in, but I think it's a good thing to happen at least once.
This is Wendy.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll just remind everyone that Wendy's motion is still on the floor. Go ahead, Wendy.
I just want to remind this committee that the business of Pacifica is the radio stations and the National Archives and the affiliates program. And, you know, this has been a long-standing tradition for at least 5 years, and always, I believe, the national board meetings have included the general managers from the radio stations. And so to just now all of a sudden say that we have to pass a motion to bring them when the PNB has never passed a motion saying that we don't bring them is a little bit odd. I only know about this meeting of the Operations Collective in Houston because I live here. The PNB hasn't been notified about any of this, that there was ever any inkling that they might not come to April and, you know, the subsequent meetings. So I just think that we're kind of getting it a little bit twisted here. I'm glad that people are finding it important. I think, you know, well, I already told you what I think. So anyway, yes, the GMs, at the very least, the archives director. And I think it's good to hear about the affiliates program, but and the national programming coordinator.
Okay, could I just ask Mary? Or
the way it's always been.
Could I just ask that the motion be read that Wendy had made? Mary, if you have it, or Wendy, if you have it.
She moved that the operations collective,
except for the program directors.
Well, you said the operations collective.
I don't think we need to drag the program directors too.
Well, okay. Then operations collective, the members of that will have to be defined. But your motion is, if you want to change the wording, it's fine. But what I had written down that you said was that you moved that operations collective be included in the in-person meetings. And I believe that the program directors are part of them. That's something that Greg Goomba started out. So maybe you want to...
Can I clarify?
Say something different?
Yeah. Wendy, maybe can you define operations collective? Yeah.
Or,
which member?
I'll just change the words. The general managers of the radio stations and the department heads, except for finance, be involved in Pacifica board meeting.
Fun information.
Be involved in the April, well, I guess in the April meeting. I hate to say that, but.
Okay, so
you're going to change it to the April meeting because I was going to amend it, propose an amendment to make it just apply to this April meeting.
I'll leave it at that till we get to the PNB.
Okay, Sarv, your point of information, please.
I want to know from Wendy, when she said department heads, does she mean like our station has maybe five or six department heads of all kinds?
What's the term for that? The heads of the units is what I think I mean. Well,
she means the national departments. The national departments.
General managers, maybe.
The national departments,
I think
programming, affiliates. Internet, archives.
We got lots.
Yeah, and the GM, so, that's it. So the GMs.
So it's the GMs, the web, the programming, and the affiliates,
and the department
technology.
Heads, the national
technology.
Department heads.
Yeah.
And who else did you say was excluded except for?
Finance.
Except for finance.
Finance?
Well, the head of finance is Lonnie, I guess, so I don't mean to exclude him.
Well, who would that be? So who would that be? I'm sorry, I don't mean to be weird, but I didn't know.
Maybe
it's better to name who would be invited than who would not.
Five GMs.
Mm-hmm.
National Program Coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Archives Director.
Okay.
Affiliates Director. Technology. What do they call it? Web Dude.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and National Technical Director, but he'd probably be there anyway for the meeting. Is that it? What about the Washington Bureau Chief?
I think so.
Sarv, did you say we're at time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Washington Bureau Chief.
Steve, that's right.
Really?
Okay. Washington Bureau Chief?
Yeah.
National Programming, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that we're at time, so I think we need to go to a vote on the motion. When you're ready, Mary, if you could read the motion as it's...
Well, I have the five general managers of the general managers of the five radio stations, the national programming director, the
coordinator. Title is
program. I'm sorry, I have coordinator written down. I misspoke, but of course we don't have a director. The archives director, I believe the correct title is. The affiliates director, technology director, the Washington Bureau Chief.
And what's the internet person's name?
Well, that's the
title.
That's the Pacifica webmaster. Is that what his official title is? Is that correct?
Yeah.
That's correct.
Okay. And that's what I have.
And they will be invited to the April in-person
PNB meeting. That they be invited to the April 11th PNB meeting in Houston.
Okay. Mary, could you call the roll, please?
Any objections?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, we're at time.
You proposed
time.
It.
That's okay.
Okay. Okay, I'm taking the roll here. Effian Mongaza?
Yes.
Abad Lederer?
Yes.
Sherry Gendelman?
No.
Any Star Brandawa?
Pass for me.
Okay. Wendy Schrill?
Yes.
Jack Van Aken?
Yes.
And Mary Berg? I vote yes. And now, Sarv?
I'd say I abstain.
You abstain. Okay. Okay. That's one. Two, three, four, five. Oh, Lonnie Hicks.
Wait, what about Lonnie?
Wait a minute.
I'm sorry. I'm not used to...
No, I think my vote's no.
Okay. And Dan?
Abstain.
Abstain. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 yes. We have 2 no and 1 abstain.
Okay, thank you. We move on to our last agenda item, and it looks like we should get under the wire on our two-hour limit, which is scheduling the next coordinating committee meeting. There seems to be some sort of standing policy that we meet every 2 weeks. I don't think that's been occurring, but how do people feel? Do you think we need to meet in 2 weeks? This Thursday seems to have worked okay for everyone.
I think, yes, we are supposed to meet every 2 weeks. And I
are you saying March 13th, Jack?
Yeah, that would be March
13th. And I think Thursday, so it would be March 13th, yeah. And I think Thursdays, I think that seems to be not conflicting.
This is Wendy.
Okay, I had Bob first and then Wendy.
Well, I had a question for Mary or anyone who knows the answer. What is the authority for saying that this committee is supposed to meet every 2 weeks?
It's in the motions that were passed.
That's what I was going to speak to.
Okay, Wendy, do you have the answer?
Yeah, the reason it became every 2 weeks is because of that communications policy that people have been talking about lately. And
was earlier than that.
Well, this is my recollection, is before that the PNB was meeting monthly, and then when they came up with this communications policy where people are going to be asking for reports and filtering it through the coordinating committee, it was thought that we should meet every 2 weeks so that we can see if there were any requests. But it's really not necessary if we're not doing that, if there aren't any.
Let me try to just...
Sarv, you wanted to get on?
Yeah.
Please, go ahead.
I'd like to make a motion that that you determine as appropriate whether we need to meet every 3 weeks or 4 weeks or 2 weeks, depending upon how much load of work comes your way and our way. And then at that time, you can make that decision and you can let us know and we'll meet.
Okay, your motion is to leave it to the discretion of the chair, pro tem, to schedule meetings of the coordinating committee.
As needed basis.
Obviously, members can call for it, too.
Sure.
Mary Berg, point of information, I guess.
Yeah, Mary.
Asking. I'm trying to find this. I didn't find it in this list right here, but I have seen that list where the PNB did vote that this would happen. So it's in one of the lists.
It may be a policy.
Now, do we have to do
we can determine
something to change this, or what do we want to do? It was definitely a rule that was made fairly years back.
Sherry, how do you feel about the need for a coordinating committee meeting in 2 weeks?
I have another concern, and the concern is that I thought we were supposed to have a PNB phone meeting before the next April meeting. So even if it's to set that and it's just a brief one.
Yeah.
That's a meeting.
What?
They don't have brief ones.
I would suggest that we go ahead and schedule the meeting for Thursday the 13th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and if for some reason we find that we don't have enough on our plate, then we can cancel it.
Mary Gerd?
I think we
will be preparing for the April in-person meeting, so
correct.
I think we're going to, and this, I think we should do that because if we wait later, we should do it earlier.
Yeah,
that would be a good time.
Yeah, about setting agendas and various logistic items. And anyone else have any comment?
Yeah, this is Bob.
Bob.
I don't agree with any ongoing need for this committee to meet every 2 weeks. And as a matter of fact, it's not even clear to me that it has to meet every month. Last year, it must have met no more than 3 or 4 times, and I don't think that anything suffered for that. So I think we should meet as needed, and while we will have to do more work on the agenda, I think 2 weeks, the agenda, that is, of the April in-person meeting, I think 2 weeks from now is too soon because too many things will not be really clear as to what that agenda should be. So I would say we should hold off maybe about 4 weeks before our next meeting.
Okay, so that would be March 27th, Thursday, right. March 27th.
That'd be too late.
Yeah, that would be just 2 weeks before the PNB meeting.
Yeah. I just leave it here and how would it...
Maybe, yeah, it's sort of like the 13th might be a little too soon. The 20th, you know, might be okay or, you know, even a little too late. So
let's go with the 13th.
Between the 13th and the 20th.
Yeah.
20th. How about
13th?
How about
the 20th, 20th? Maybe.
20th. How about 20th? Let's go 20th.
Okay, how many... how many
just,
support the 20th?
Whole bunch.
Should I take a poll or something?
Yeah, maybe you can run through the list, Mary.
Okay,
and
there's the 13th.
For 13th or 20th.
Okay, let's start with the 13th. Okay. 13. Okay. Afiyed Mwangaza?
Pass.
Okay. Bob Lederer?
20th.
Well, okay, you want to go the 20th. That's fine. I can do that. Let's do that. You want to go the
20th.
Okay.
Wait. Are you supposed to... can you do both? Then you would just say yes now and then yes on the next one?
Just say what you want, 13th or the 20th. So you're saying...
That's not what I just said.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Whether you prefer the 13th or the 20th or if they may have no preference.
The 13th or the 20th of March?
Of March.
So, remind people that the week of the 20th is the fifth anniversary of the U.S. invasion and occupation of Iraq, and there are lots of activities that are going on.
That's true.
During that time.
Well, let me come back to you if you will, I go, because you had passed. So let's see what Bob prefers, the 20th. Sherry, the 13th or the
20th? I prefer the 13th. I'm available on both.
Okay. Sarv Randhawa?
20th.
Okay. Wendy Shrill?
13th.
Okay. Jack Van Aken?
I'll go with the 13th to keep.
Okay. Mary Berg says 13th. Lonnie Hicks?
20th.
Okay. Dan Siegel?
13th.
Okay. And, say, Afiyed Mwangaza, you passed?
13th.
Okay. So that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 for the 13th and 3 for the 20th. So we seem that. 13th.
Okay, so the 13th will be our next meeting. That completes our agenda as far as I can tell.
To adjourn.
Thanks, Greg.
To adjourn.
Thanks.
No objections?
Thanks.
Thank you, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night.